Well, thank God for that. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, open to the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter number 8. Many times as you're preaching through books of the Bible, as common sense would dictate, you ought to preach them and teach them the way they were written, amen, instead of just picking and choosing all the time what you'd like to say and leave out parts you'd like to leave out. I'm telling you what's the truth. Some of it gets you in thick weeds of mystery, and other gets you in deep water, amen. You start delivering the mail as it's written. But when you do along the way, when you come to days like holidays and Mother's Day and Father's Day, sometimes the text doesn't quite fit the occasion. This morning, as we've been making our way through the book of Luke, there is something vital right in our succeeding text for today. We looked last week at the beginning verses, the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8, where he described the parable of the familiar parable of the sower and the seed, who throws the seed, and based upon the soil, there was a different response. And so there was the miscellaneous response to the gospel. And so we talked about the hard ground, represented the hard, callous heart, and the stony ground that represented the heart that is surface level and cowardly, that doesn't make it past the tests and the trials that validate faith. And then we talked about the thorny ground, the cluttered heart that's so full of the cares of this world and the pleasures and the deceitfulness of riches that it really doesn't have any room for God's word to bring life. And then we talked about the good ground. And the good ground was a heart that had a readiness and a willingness to be honest. Honest with God's truth against us, and honest about God's truth for us. He closed with talking about that kind of heart as the heart that brings life a hundredfold. Then he picks up in verse number 16, where we will today. And he says, "No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. But he sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to see you." And he, that is Jesus, answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." May the Holy Spirit of God this morning bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. I want to share with you from this passage that is so simple and pointed on the subject matter of the mother of all truth. The mother of all truth. Jesus, why He said many things that keep us scratching our heads and wondering still today, what did He mean? Other times He spoke where there's no way you could miss the meaning. I mean, you would really have to be under complete self-deception to miss what He's saying, to miss His message. He shares with us here truth, truth that is powerful, truth that is straightforward, so that if you didn't get all of the illustrations, if you didn't get all of the application, He brings this to a bottleneck, and He shares an emphatic truth about who He is committed to. When you read this text, it is concentrated around that verse number 18 where He says, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." I want to encourage you this morning to do the same. Be careful how you hear today. Be careful Hey, listen, make sure you don't misunderstand. Make sure you don't stumble over the simplicity of what Christ will share here about this important truth of what it means to be a true believer, a true disciple, a true follower of Christ. Because as he started out dealing with the miraculous effect of the gospel, sharing with us those three ladies in verses 1-3 whose lives were radically changed by the gospel, and then he dealt with that parable on the miscellaneous impact and effect of the gospel, here he deals with the manifest effect. In other words, here's how you know when truth takes hold of your life. And he boils it all down to this, and he uses the backdrop of Jesus' preaching. You can imagine he's out preaching to the great crowds. When you read Matthew and Mark and Luke and you put it together, they're so packed in, they're sitting around him, and far off in the distance he's teaching, and in the middle of his teaching, his mother and his brothers and sisters come to see him, and they want to get to him, they want to see him. When you read some of the other Gospels, it's as if they're worried about Jesus, that he's giving himself so much. Many people thought he's lost his mind because he's giving himself so selflessly to the crowds. But his mother shows up to see him, and they said, "Jesus, I know you'll want to get this message. Your mother and your brothers are here to see you." What a dramatic effect. And by the way, when you look at the way different religions treat Mary, you learn a lot about the undermining of that when you just see how Jesus responds to this. There's a whole group that spend time praying to, whether angels or saints, or praying to Mary, because somehow they think it's going to give them an end, that if they can just have a prayer through to Mary, Mary will get to Jesus and she'll make him do what she wants her to do, what you're making your request. My friend, that is foolish. It's not only foolish, listen, let's be real, it's blasphemous. Amen. And so as Jesus deals here, his mother comes to him and he makes such an incredible statement that he dismisses that, not dismissing his mother, but makes a greater truth, pointing to all the men and women that were there, and says, "My true mothers and true brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now, that's a radical statement. It kind of takes you back a little bit when you read that, and you got to kind of process those things. Here in this statement, Jesus boils down Christianity on those who've truly heard down to this basic principle of obedience. In other words, if there's no changed life, then you hadn't been listening. If you've not been affected in a miraculous and marvelous way that reveals itself through obedience, my friend, you have not heard, and you have not listened. Amen. Jesus lays this out and uses illustrations of mothers and brethren. I don't know who he could use better to illustrate obedience than mothers, because mothers are always doing. Sometimes you can get exhausted by just hearing what a lady does in the course of her day. Get rising up early, laboring, sometimes the last one to quit in the evening with all the chores. And Jesus took the illustration of mothers and said, "Let me tell you who my mothers are. Those who are the ones who hear the word of God and they do it." Jesus made an incredible distinction here, one that we don't need to miss. He made a distinction among his own mother and his own family, distinguishing them, this physical relationship, as important as they were, from the authentic followers that knew him, that received his truth and honored his word and desired to follow him with their life. Now, if Jesus would make that kind of distinction between his true mothers, his true family, his true brethren are those who hear his word and do it, how much more so does he draw the distinction in the average church today? Those who could say, "Well, I've been in the church 25 years. Do you think that means anything to God if you don't know Jesus? Do you really think it matters that you've taught Sunday school, or you've preached sermons, or you've done all this ministry, when all boils down, you don't honor his word and you don't desire to do it, and it's not manifested in your life?" So what this shows is Christ's supremacy, the supreme commitment he has to those who are committed to his word. His true commitment lies, he says, it supersedes even the commitment to his natural family. It supersedes to what he came to do in this world, and that was to bring followers to himself. And to those he gives the supreme commitment as his mother and his brethren. So this Mother's Day, while this message, obviously my mothers and my brethren, Jesus applies these truths to all of us, men and women. I want to, for our illustrations, I want to share with you some traits of what I call Godmothers. Mothers of God. Jesus says the same are my mothers and my brothers. Let me give you the traits. What applies to mothers ought to apply to all of us. Number one, the first trait I want you to observe in their relation to truth is their obtained testimony to truth. Verse number 16 says this, "No man, when he lights a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light." Now, Christ is just coming off this parable where he's teaching that when there's good soil, the result will be fruitfulness and life and a hundredfold return. Something grand, something out of the norm takes place when the Word of God falls in good ground. It's spread to a lot say they hear, a lot make professions. He says, when something real takes place, you'll be able to tell it. It's going to be dramatic and there's fruitfulness. And so now he moves from this illustration of the farming to the light. And he takes this term light and he uses it to illustrate life. Light in the scriptures symbolize wisdom. It symbolizes intelligence. It symbolizes truth as opposed to darkness, which would illustrate deceit or lies. Light illustrates life. It illustrates holiness. And so when God talks about this trait of those who are truly his people, it's a testimony of those who testify that what's happened in their life, they've embraced truth and light has come into their life and it has saturated them and they are full. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, those familiar verses in verse number 14, "You are the light of the world." Remember that statement? Why were they light of the world? Why is the church referred to as the light of the world? They're light of the world because of what God did in us. Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And he pours his life and his truth into our life. And so he says, you're the light of the world. And he says, the same text, he says, verse 15, "Neither do men light their candle, put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick so it gives light to all the house." And then he draws a conclusion, Matthew 5, 16, "Let your lights so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." In other words, if God has done a radical work in your life, then shine. If God has brought truth, you don't hide truth. In other words, and in fact, not only do you not hide truth, that the implication is you can't hide truth. When God does a work, my friend, it's going to show up. And so he says, give this testimony to truth. Matthew 10, 27 says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak in light. What you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. What I've shared with you that's changed you, share with others to affect them." My friend, what else are we going to do? It's amazing. Sometimes people are wringing their hands and they're spending all kind of dollars. Isn't it amazing? From our governments, we read all you need is throw more money at something, more laws, more regulations, and we got more laws and we know what to do with. We don't even know all the laws. Money goes out like crazy to try to affect things. And what do we steal? We still have a depraved nation. Amen. That ain't even hit a speed bump on our way down yet. And so the radical thing is, what is it going to take? So we see that with our government, and then we come to our homes and we wring our hands. How do I fix this? How do I fix this? How do I fix this? And the reality is God says, no, I'll give you truth, and truth will always set you free, and truth will always work. Why? Because it's always true. Amen. And when truth affects your life, then you go out and you make sure you don't cover up that truth. You share that truth. You become the light to your family. You know what I know this? Notice, just through life, there are some exceptions, but the majority of the time, the woman is the light of the home. She's the light. When you read through the scriptures and you find the families of the Bible seems to elevate, and when you look at real life, it's quite often the lady that is the light of the family. They just kind of bring that extra level of joy and heart and care to the family. In fact, here's the way Proverbs 31 describes that godly woman. Here's the way that Proverbs 31 wraps up. He says of the lady, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is empty. It's vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Why? Why so much in ado? Because the godly woman is the light of her home. I'm telling you, ladies, you set the environment. You set the tone. You set the harmony and the environment in a home. And so listen, shine. If God's done a work in your heart, you know the truth, it's made a difference in your life, then give God the glory, give Him the credit, and shine for Him. In Luke chapter 1, you'll remember Mary, his actual mother, and the way she expressed in her own life. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 49, Mary began to sing her song, the Magnificat, if you'll remember. Here's the way she started her song. Knowing that Lord Jesus Christ is going to give birth to him, she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done great things to me." Do you hear what Mary's singing for all the public to hear? Don't make it anything of me. Don't pray to me. Don't magnify me. I was of low estate. I was a humble maid. And God, this great and awesome, he has done great things to me. Ladies, that's what a mother ought to be. And most mothers are. They're not looking for the credit. They're not looking for the pats on the back, but I tell you what a mother ought to do. She ought to give credit where credit's due, and that's to the grace of God that got a hold of your life, that delivered you from sin and delivered you from selfishness, and so secured you and so loved you and so blessed you that he allowed you to be so full to pour not just into your life, but through your life into a household. The testimony to the truth. When Paul wrote about Timothy's mother and grandmother, what Paul wrote about them, he says, "Timothy, I'm just wanting to show up in your life what I've seen in your grandmother and what I've seen in your mama." Isn't it amazing how many men in the Bible were so incredible men that were so because of the influence of their mothers? And today is no different. And so he says to Timothy, he says, "I've seen the faith in your mother and in your grandmother, and the same faith I saw in you, I now see in you." What he saw was the cycle that grandmother passed it to mama, and mama has passed it to Timothy. And now Timothy, go pass it to others who can continue to pass it on. Well, what you find in these godly mothers who bear testimony for the truth is this. When you learn truth, you realize you don't need anything else. And you give credit to God that God has done to me great things, and you go and you pass on the very truths that God has passed on to you. You know what I've thought about? I've thought about a lot of times that as much things become automated and technology and so many things that are at a push at a button, man, if our electricity goes out, if our grid, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know why? Because sowing has not been passed on. A lot of cooking ain't been passed on. A lot of survival tips ain't been passed on. A lot of farming tips have not been passed on. We're going to be in emergency mode real quick if all those microwaves and push button devices go out. We're going to be sitting there, "Help!" Why? Because they don't get passed on. But watch this. Just as those things don't get passed on for one reason or another, my friend, there should never be a reason why we're not passing faith along. Mothers, I don't know of anything more dire, more drastic of circumstances than when we're watching what were happening to our children and grandchildren. Why would you do anything? Why would you pour any more passion into anything than pouring your life to bear witness that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? You better trust Him or everything else is empty. Amen. Yet what we find today is so many soccer moms and everything, they're trying to build little John and little Mary up, and it's all about making the best grades, and it's all about excelling in business, and it's all about becoming all this to all this, and you could care less what they mean to Jesus. A godly mother of truth are those who bear witness of the light. Light cannot be hid. Now, notice he says here, you don't hide the light under a vessel. Mark describes it as a bushel. Vessel just means a general vessel. Mark calls it a bushel, which is what you loaded. It's a measurement for market. And he says, neither do you put it under a bed where you rest or sleep. You don't hide truth. You don't hide the light under labor or leisure. You make sure that you never become too busy or too lazy to make sure you're sharing light with your family. Every lady in this church, you've got a pulpit. You know where your pulpit is? Your pulpit's to your spouse, your pulpit's to your children, your pulpit's to your grandchildren, your pulpit's to the children that others are raising and part of a family to build up men and women of God. Don't become so busy. That's the thing about it. The world has so kept Our Lady so busy with so many things that they think are important, that make them feel good, that make them feel needy. When sometimes the families that they committed themselves and the children they brought in the world are starving for some of that labor and energy. And don't become slothful. Don't become lazy. Waiting on the television or the Sunday school teacher or the babysitter or somebody else to raise your children for you, my friend. If you don't raise them, they will not be raised. The testimony of truth. The second thing this text points out is their open transparency with truth. Verse 17 points out an important truth. Watch this. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. In other words, nothing that's secret that shall not come to full openness and revealed. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So he contrasts secret to manifest, hid to abroad. He says, ultimately, truth brings everything into the open. And so one of the trait of God-mothers, a trait of those who are truly mothers and brethren to Christ are those who have recognized this truth and don't even give in to the pretense and the hypocrisies. In fact, this very same line of phraseology is used in Luke chapter 12 in verse number 1 and 2 when Luke says this, in the meantime, when there were gathered together innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What was the leaven of the Pharisees? He says, hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Jesus, listen, ladies, don't fall to hypocrisy. Don't fall to think that you can hide your own ambitions and hide the fact that you know you're not giving what you should be giving to your families. Don't try to hide the fact that you know God's truth is not operative in its full sense in your life. In fact, many become like Matthew 23, verse number 3, when he says of those religious leaders, you bid others to observe and to do, but you don't do after their works. He says in Matthew 23, 3, you say, but you do not. How many have ever heard in your life someone say to you, don't do what I do what I say? Has anybody ever heard that? That's a lot of hands. That's sad. And the saddest thing is if that came from an authority person in our life. Just do what I say and don't do what I do. My friend, you're living a fictitious life. That's not the way things happen. Why? Because the greatest sermons that come into our lives that we hear are not the messages of the mouth, but the messages of the life. Your actions always speak louder than words. It's the most powerful message you'll ever preach is what you do, not what you say. And so the Lord says, listen, it's not about the hypocrisy, because if you give yourself over to hypocrisy, it's going to catch up. There are those who realize my life must be transparent. I must be genuine. I must be real with the truth. Truth demands that. And truth, if it is truth, will always come out that way anyway. Remember what Simeon said to Mary in Luke 2, verse number 35? He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts and minds may be revealed. Truth is going to pierce you, and it's going to reveal the hearts and the minds of people. What would people do? They think, well, if Jesus came today, how good things would be. And if Jesus came today, how we would love Him and how we would treat Him. And the reality is, my friend, He did come. And they put Him on a cross. And they spit in His face. And they hit Him with their fists. And they pulled away His beard. And they nailed His body to a cross. My friend, it reveals the heart of depravity. It reveals our anger and our even our hatred and our war against God that we would treat love and truth with such aggression. Open transparency. It's kind of like Lot's wife. Here she is. She's married to Lot. Lot is a just man. He's Abraham's nephew. He's come up with the covenants. He's wrapped up with Abraham and all the promises of God. The Bible calls him a just man. And they've lived off and moved off to Sodom and Gomorrah. And now they're being delivered out of the city. They're being literally and physically saved from the destruction that's coming on Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're getting outside the city. It looks like for their family's sake, it looks like they're going to be safe. It looks like those who are getting their due in Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and the brimstone are coming down, but it looks like, thankfully, these men and women and family of faith, they've made it outside. But Lot's wife's outside, physically. But where's she inside? Oh, my friend, physically she's out of harm's way, but in her heart, truth is not prevailed. In her heart, she still has the love for the things of this world. And Jesus preached one of the shortest messages he ever preached when he just gave us the title of it. He says, remember Lot's wife. That's all he says. Remember Lot's wife. What do I need to remember about Lot's wife is about? It's this, that she was living on the outside, but she was staying on the inside. She's saying, goodbye world, goodbye on the outside. But on the inside, she still hungered for the lures and the lust and the possessions of this world. And when she turned back, truth will always come. It'll always bring to light. How do we know what was happening in Lot's wife's heart? Because she turned back and God made her a pillar of salt. Truth always prevails. It always reveals. And so we might as well live in the open. This morning we talked about that glorious story of Ruth and Boaz. Here's Ruth. When you think about Ruth, she was an outcast. She was a Moabitess. She was a reject. She was part of a land that God even forbade his people to even deal with. More than that, she's been married to a man and now he's dead. And she's traveling back as a poor daughter-in-law. Yet when she comes back on the outside, she don't look like much. On the outside, she just looks like a broken, poor, helpless, needy woman. But when Boaz saw her, his estimation was this in Ruth 3:11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to you all that you require, for all the city of my people do know that you are a virtuous woman." Here's a woman who had truth operating in her heart, and it didn't matter what everybody thought on the outside. When they saw how she lived and how she honored others and how she treated people and she honored God, truth came to light in her life. Her life became transparent so that what was outside was shown and revealed her inside virtue. The reality is those who are going to be the true mothers and the brethren of the Lord are those who allow truth to shine through them in a transparent way. The heart is revealed. You know, in the Old Testament, you find two extremities. I was thinking about this week. You turn to the Old Testament, you literally find, not figurative, you literally find in the Old Testament, when hard times came, mamas eating their own children. How's that happen? Mothers eating their own children when times got so bad. And you see that and you think, how? Your first question is, how could you do that? How could you do that? Yet we see it all around us. Up and down the roads, the streets, the communities that we live in, my friend, it's no pretty picture. And children being sacrificed on the altars for the drives and the pleasures and the drugs and the pursuits of young mothers and their children are left devoured by this world. You know what, you see that and their hearts are revealed, but then you turn the page and you come to ladies like Rachel when she's giving birth to her last son, Benjamin, and she dies giving birth. She gives her life so that her son can be born. Today our argument is always about which is more valuable, but to the mothers of this day, this Rachel, she says, I will die so Benjamin can be born. What a contrast. Those who eat their children, those who are willing to give their own lives for their children's sake. The reality, he says, it can't be hid for long. If virtue is operating, truth's on your life, it don't matter what people say, my friend, truth's going to catch up and in the end, you'll be praised. If you got sin and you got selfishness and you got pride and you got rebellion in your heart, it doesn't matter how much you pretend on the outside, one day transparency is going to take place and truth will show up, for better or for worse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 puts it this way, "Our lives are like a letter and they're known and they're read of all people." they're known and read of all people. Let me share with you a third truth. Verse number 18 tells us a third attribute, and that is their objective teachability of the truth. This is important. Verse 18 says, "Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." Now, that seems like kind of a tongue twister, a play on terms, but it really just speaks to this, a teachable spirit. It's the aspect of when you take truth as important and you take truth as the Word of God and you have an appropriate response as the good ground in the parable, that appropriate response to truth leads to God adding additional truth and additional understanding. In fact, it's kind of like this, you know, when you're in school, you start out in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and so when you establish the truths of an early grade, you get to progress and learn more truths. If you're not willing to learn these truths, you can't graduate to the future truths. You got to keep repeating. You got to keep repeating until you get the truths down. This applied spiritually to the truth of Almighty God, the ultimate truth. It could be basically stated this way. When you receive the light that God gives you, whatever light of understanding of Him, of you, of truth, of salvation, whatever light He gives to you, when you embrace that light, God will give you more light. But when you take the light that God gives you, God takes the time, and in His mercy and His grace and His patience and long-suffering, He wrestles with your heart. His Holy Spirit convicts you and convinces you. He gives you truth and turns on the light, and you reject that truth. You resist that truth, whether your heart is cluttered or whether your heart is hardened or whether it's full of stony grounds. If you reject that truth, you respond negatively. He says, you, even the truth that you think you have, will be taken away. Simply put, light received adds more light. Light rejected increases your darkness. This is what Jesus is dealing with. In fact, this even goes to the question of people asking, well, what about people in a foreign land who've never heard the truth and so forth? And what happens to them, my friend? I want to tell you what. The Bible says in John 1, God gives light to every man in the world. He lighteth every man who comes into the world. He gives light to everyone. He manifests Himself to all men, He says. Now, Romans 1 tells us how He does that in general. He does it through creation. He does it through the proof of the wise and powerful God. And what are you going to do with that? My friend, whatever you do with general revelation of creation is very well hinged to what God will do in special revelation of the truths of the gospel and the truth of His specific word of not just that God is powerful, not that just is God wise, but who He is and what His heartbeat is and what His desires and what His will and what His purposes are. It's kind of like the wise men. We make so much of these guys, these kings that traveled from the east to come to find Bethlehem. All they got is a star in the sky, and we think they have some type of some manuscripts or parcels. We don't even know what information they had, but they had a star, and they had a revelation. They followed that star, and they had all the revelation they had, and the further they go on, more information was shared, and so they wound up in where the star was, over Bethlehem, to Jerusalem. They go into Jerusalem, they get a little more direction. They keep following that until it leads them all the way to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Light accepted increases light, and light will always be a vehicle to get us to Christ. You know what Mary's response was? Mary herself was revealed the plan of God through the angel, through the prophecies of Elizabeth, through others who came along. I love this statement in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 19 when the shepherds came and they were sharing all the information about Christ. It says this, "The people wondered about what the shepherd says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She didn't flippantly dismiss what she was hearing. She took the truth of God and she embraced it and she said, "I need to think about that. I want to mull that over. I don't want to lose that," she says. And then on by the end of the chapter, it says after they'd gone down and dedicated Christ to the temple and Simeon comes in and gives his prophecy, it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth." This is when Jesus was left at the temple, remember, and they came and they got him. And she said, "We were all upset. We couldn't find you." Jesus says, "Did you not realize I'd be about my Father's business?" And she catches that phrase. She may not like to hear that, but she called it and says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all those sayings in her heart." Mary embraced truth. Mary held on to truth as it built and grew and led to greater enlightenment. See, some are just unteachable. And he said, listen, some of you, you don't treat the truth I'm hearing. Some of the best things God ever gave some of us are godly mothers and godly fathers. It breaks my heart every time I hear, I'm out in the community and I hear somebody say, oh, my daddy was a godly man. Oh, my mama was a godly woman. And yet you're looking and you're hearing about a life that did not use what they were handed down. They were given more than truth. They were given an example of truth, and dismiss it and go on and get caught up in the times rather than hearing truth. And so he says, what happens if you disrespect the truth I gave you the privilege to have, you're going to lose even that you thought you had. You turn to the scripture, you can find some hard-headed ladies in the Bible. I mean, can you find much stronger prophets than Elijah? And yet he preaches and he preaches and he preaches. Yet Jezebel, she don't want to hear none of it. I mean, he calls down fire to show out and to show off and undermine these false idols of Baal. Yet it's not enough for stubborn Jezebel. No, I'm going to take your head off, Elijah. You can kill all my prophets you want to, but I'm going to hold on to this. And she rejected truth. Well, I'll tell you, my friend, the dogs ended up eating Jezebel. That's what happens when you stay unteachable. Or maybe you become like Herodias. Herodias got ticked off because John the Baptist had the audacity to say it's not right that you left your husband and you went and married Herod. Wasn't right that y'all have all this stuff. It's sin before God. She didn't like being told that. And Herod, you remember, Herod locked up John the Baptist, but there's some indication he locked him up to protect him from Herodias. And Herodias is so unteachable. At least Herod would go down into the dungeon and he would hear John preach and he would consider some of the things that he would say and he would go and try to do some things different. Not Herodias. Oh no, she looked and longed for the moment where I'm going to get you, sucker. I'm going to get you. I don't like what you said. I don't like you trying to tell me how to live my life. I don't like how you tell me how to do relationships. And so when she had the opportunity, her daughter danced before Herod, won the favor of Herod, and removed the head of John the Baptist. Unteachable. See, the Hebrew writer writes about these, and he says in Hebrews 5:12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Isn't it amazing? In a motherly role, there's so many mothers that should be the most equipped and the best to teach and train the next generation. Yet according to Hebrews 5, like much of the rest of those who profess, you need somebody to teach you the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said, when you take the truth and you put it to use and you cling to it and it takes a hold in your life, God says, you're gonna grow in that truth and you'll be teachers. But when you reject the truth God gives and you stay unteachable, unteachable. Mamas, don't ever become unteachable. Resist the fact of settling in that you know best and you're going to do it the way you want to do it and you're going to do it the way you've seen others do it. I've seen ladies, their lives are ruined. Yes, they've been ruined by men that were abusive and men that hurt them, and so they make the rest of the world pay, including their own children. They make the rest of the world and their children pay for the sins of someone who's hurt them. And I tell you this, keep your heart soft. Keep it real. And stay teachable before Almighty God. I read something not too long ago that 95% of people who diet and lose weight regain it. 95% of all people who diet and lose weight regain the weight that they lost. Simple reason why. You know why? Because they stopped the principles that caused the weight loss. Isn't that so simple? It's pretty simple. When you instill certain disciplines that cause you to lose weight and then all of a sudden you quit those disciplines, what did you expect was going to happen? I mean, did you expect you're continue to decrease in weight and lose, making all the free choices? No, my friend. And it's the same thing. Truth is exactly like that. When God gives us truth, the truths are not to oppress us. The truths are to enlighten us, to help us, to heal us, to give us the advantage over a world that's clueless. He gives us truth to make us sharp-minded and focused and to know when we do things in a certain way. There's not a hope so, there's a no so. It's going to work with my children. It's going to work with my family. Why? Because it's true. Let me give you a final point. The fourth and final trait shares with us the mother of all truth in a small capsule statement. And that is the trait of the obedient taming by the truth. Verse number 21. Jesus' mothers and brothers come. They can't get to him because of the crowd. And they said, "Your mother and your brethren are outside desiring to see you." And Jesus answered and said to them, "My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it." They hear the word of God and they do it. They do it. It's amazing how much information people have today, more than just about any other time. All this information, but who's doing it? Well, you got the facts, you got the advice. Who's doing it? Who's doing anything that resembles this book? Who's doing it? Show me the ladies that take the word of God and they use it to put the emphasis on their house and put the emphasis on their marriage and put the emphasis upon their parenting and put the emphasis on praying and sharing and loving and giving and being godly example for all those who will look on and see. The brightest light in the family, if it's the lady, imagine what is drawn from the example of your life. He summarizes it all. The mother of all truths is this, my friend. The true, genuine family of God are those who hear the truth and then do it. They do it. They do it. And if they don't do it, it's because they have not heard. Because, my friend, when you really hear, not just listening, but when you really hear, you do it. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 34 and 35, the same statement Jesus says, not only they do it, it's those who do the will of my Father. Those are my true mothers and my true brethren. See, here and in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, Jesus delivers us away from, ladies, watch this, he delivers us away from sentimentalism. He delivers us away from sensationalism, and he drives home the simple, discernible fact of truth about faith, which is simply this: obedience. Luke 11, 27, "It came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, 'Blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps which you have sucked.'" Imagine that. Jesus is preaching. He's sharing glorious truths. And a lady in the crowd says, "Oh, it is glorious. Your mother has to be so wonderful. You blessed is your mama who you breastfed from. Your mother is glorious and blessed." Imagine. Jesus is preaching truth, and this lady is sensationalizing it, bragging on his mama. But Jesus says, "Yeah, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." That's who the true blessed person is. It's not in some sensational idea or some sentimentalism. He says the real, solid, discernible truth are those who hear the word of God and they keep it. By the way, Mary herself becomes an epitome for following this very truth. Remember when the angel comes and shares with her this miracle, "You're going to have a baby. I never known a man. How's that going to happen?" "Well, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and that holy thing that's going to be born of you is going to be called the Son of God." Now, can you imagine getting that message? I mean, God's calling you. That's a weighty matter. Bearing the Messiah, you're young and unmarried, and God wants to put on you this. He's going to put on this shame and misunderstanding of your whole family and whole community by doing something. What is going to be your answer? This is difficult stuff. What is her response? She set aside and she could care less about what it was going to cost her. She could care less about what people said. The only thing that bothered her was this: what did God say? And she was so consumed by what God said, she'd simply responded this way: "Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word." See, the true blessed and the true mothers of God are those who hear the word of God and they do it. I believe under anybody's estimation, mothers have a tall order in life. Tall order. To be a wife, that's already a monumental task. To be a wife to a man, men, we know what we are. And to be a wife to a man, that's a huge order. Then you start bringing youngins in this world, that good, gracious Adam's nature shows out in every single one of them. They come in like you're living in their house and you're eating their food and enjoying their air conditioning. And somehow I got to train that and love that and teach that. And then you pile on top of that all the other responsibilities. Ladies, did it ever get difficult? Oh, yes. What are you going to do? I want to just remind you, you're not the last lady who's been called to do hard things. Remember when Hagar was so mistreated? She didn't sign up to ask to bear a child to Abraham, but she wound up as a wife of Abraham and bearing his child. And what did she get for it? She got conflict with Sarah, and Sarah oppressing her and abusing her. And now she's run away from home. She's now a single mom with a newborn baby and wondering, how am I going to make it? And she's given up on life. She's weeping in the darkness alone, and God speaks to her to comfort her and let her know, honey, I see you. I know where you are. I'm going to take good care of you. Now, she had to be consoled that God of all creation would speak to her need, but then he says, but now I want you to do something. I want you to go back home, and I want you to submit yourself unto Sarah. I want you to go back home, serve your family. Go back, be a mama, be a wife. Go back, but do it at home. I know it's going to be tough. I know. I don't hear all your excuses. What I want you to do is go back home. A tall order indeed. But you know how you know Hagar meant business? Because she heard his word and she did it. Esther, entire Jewish nation is in your hands. They weigh in the balance. You got to go before the king. You've got to approach your husband and do this difficult thing that may cost you your own life. You know how we know Esther was genuine? Because she heard. And she put her life in her own hands and she said, if I perish, I perish. And she went and she did it. See, James chapter 1, verse 22 draws that straight line where many times we like the gray areas and we like to draw crooked lines. We like to discern. We say, well, no, they really believe. They really believe that they just don't, you know, they ain't got it right and they just don't do it, but they really believe. James just draws those straight lines. Amen. Sometimes them straight lines James draws, they make you go, oh me. And James takes this same principle, the mother of all truths, and says that a true faith and a true love and a true relationship with the God of this world and the Savior of men's souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be not in how much you talk about it or how much information you have in your mind. It's this, has it so affected your life that you do it? James says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be you doers of the word. It's not hearing the preaching. I'm telling you, the saddest thing you can do, file in and out every single week, file in, hear a message, hear information, listen to sermons on online, television, all these things, even sitting doing daily devotions, reading that, but never taking it in. My friend, the first and foremost, if you want God to reveal, maybe you're wondering why God doesn't show you great things in His truth. You know why? Why would He? Why would the Holy Spirit of God, why is He going to waste time showing you great things when you're just going to spurn it, when you're just but I want to tell you what, you sit before Almighty God and you open His book and say, Lord, here I am, Your servant, Your daughter. I'm here to take Your word in. And Lord, when You speak, I want it applied to my life. Be it unto me according to Your word. Lord, I want to take Your word. I want to hide it in my mind and my heart. I don't want to let it go. I want to mull on it, think on it. And I want to do it, God. I want to do Your word. My friend, when you approach Scripture and truth that way with an obedient heart, ready for obedience in your life, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find God turning the light on. He's going to show you things you never thought possible. And not only that, but He's going to give you the power to carry it out, because every commandment of God is coupled with His enablement. Because when you throw up your hands and you say, I can't, God says, oh, yeah, you can, because I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to do it with you. And that's why we call it faith. I want you to bow with me this morning.